If you know you're excited to be in God's presence tonight, I want you to give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah! To the one who loves us, to the one who loved us when we're dead in our sins and trespasses, to the one who gave his life for us. Oh, wherever you are tonight, just lift up your hands and say, Father, thank you. Thank you for your love for me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for displaying your love for me. You know, some people, they love you. They claim they love you, rather. But they are not proud about, you know, their love for you. They hide it. They just disguise the love, you know. In the secret, they love you, but in the open, they deny you. But that's not who God is. You know, Jesus was, you know, beaten, you know, stripped, naked, you know, and he publicly, you know, was publicly put to shame just because of you and I. I mean, amazing. That's God, you know, publicly showing the whole world. And history cannot deny that, you know, Jesus did this thing. That's God saying to us that, see, I love you in the open. I love you, you know, all through. I love you 24/7. I love you in the secret. I love you in the open. Amen. That's why as children of God, you know, as daughters of God, we are meant to love our Father. We're meant to reciprocate the love of God. Oh, glory to God. Can we just say, Father, I love you? Say, Father, thank you for your love for me. Thank you for loving me. Oh, Sobrana Gadabahaya. Thank you for publicly demonstrating, openly demonstrating your love for me. Kana Mahanda Kosala Bahaya. Oh, thank you, Father. Manda Koselege de Bahandi. Oh, Ramande Gede Boho Sunda Balagada Bahaya. I believe you're praying. Come on, Manda Kosola Bahaya. Thank him. Oh, Rana Mashanda Balabada Bahaya. Oh, Rana Mande Gede Gede Boho Sunda Balabada Badosha. Eh, Kalamande Gede Boho Shalamande. Hallelujah. I love Colossians chapter 2, you know, verse 14, chapter 2, verse 14, you know, it says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And 15, it says, and having spoiled principalities and power, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. You know, Jesus Christ publicly, you know, dealt with principalities and power. He publicly did. He did not hide in one corner to do it. Amen. He publicly, you know, redeemed us. He publicly bought us, you know, from darkness, from destruction. Hallelujah. He publicly won us, you know, took us and brought us out of darkness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He made a show of them openly. Hallelujah. Amen. He spoiled principalities and power. Spoiled them openly. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He was beaten openly. Amen. He was beaten openly. You know, he was trapped naked. He not tell him that, please, you know what? You people should just, all these beating people are doing, people should do it to me in one corner. Don't let anybody see me. You know, I'm Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You know, I'm rabbi. I'm master to people. Just beat me in the prison. Don't do this thing openly. Don't naked me. No. He was humiliated openly, and all of this was happening because he was, you know, dealing with principalities and power openly, because Jesus was our substitute. Hallelujah. Jesus was our substitute. Amen. Everything that was happening, him being flogged and beaten, he was taking our place. Amen. So why the enemy felt like, yes, we're humiliating Jesus. Amen. Why the enemy felt like, oh, we are humiliating Jesus. It was actually taking our place. Glory to God. So Jesus was humiliated so that you and I will never be humiliated again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you excited tonight? Are you excited about Bible study tonight? Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. Amen. 1 John 4 verse 8. It says, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. So it's not really a question of what is love, it's a question of who is love. Love is a person. And God is love. Amen. And then when you want to now go to what is love exactly, that's where you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. And then you start to read. You see, it says charity suffered long. You know, the meaning of charity is love. So if you read it in maybe the NLT translation, it says love is kind. Love is patient. Love does not envy. Amen. Well, let's even rest on verse 4. It says love is patient. Love suffers long. This is God now showing you what love is. I mean, God has the right to tell us what love is. I mean, even like, you know, like adoring, God does not understand what love is. God does not have butterflies. But we just read that He is love. Amen. We just said that God is love. So if there's anybody who can tell you, define love, is the one who is love, or are you love? God is love. Yes, you're born of God, so you are love. Yeah, you're loving. But God is saying to you that, see, I am love. Do you understand? So He has the right to tell us what love really is. And He is telling us that, see, love suffers long. But then you're in a relationship with a guy who says that he cannot wait for sex in marriage. But the guy says he loves you. And this guy buys you stuff, iPhone 11, cars and everything, and he says that, I love you. When you understand the love of the Father, you know that that's not love. That's lust. Amen. Glory to God. That's eros. That's romantic kind of love. That's not the true love. That's not true love. The romantic kind of love, you know, does not last. Spirit of God, what's going on? This is not what I'm supposed to be sharing today. I actually have it cleared to have a Valentine's meeting for with us next week Friday. You know, I'm just flowing with the Holy Spirit. But maybe I should just stop, you know, and then go into my notes. I've not even gone to my notes today. I'm just sharing. Maybe you just want to give this word to somebody. You just want this word to come to somebody else. See, if you're in a relationship with a guy who is forcing you to have sex with him, forcing you to do stuff that you know that it's wrong, you know that it's not right as a believer, you know that these things goes against the word of God, that guy does not love you, and you're not in a love relationship, you're in a destructive relationship. Amen. Glory to God. So going into what I would like to share today. All right, glory to God. So we're going to be looking at the word for the year, which is growing in the Father's love. Amen. All right, so growing in the Father's love is the word, you know, that Father gave us for the year. And, you know, I just felt in my heart that January, we should just focus and have our retreat and resume. As it fits this month, and I mean, it happens to be the month of love. Everybody's all shocked up. Love, love, love. You know, Valentine's coming. You know, sorry, I don't sing that song. It is, well, you have a boyfriend. You have more than a boyfriend. You have a crush. You have the Lord Jesus Christ. You have the Lord as your lover. Like, you have more than a boyfriend. You are not alone. Amen. Jesus said, you know, when, you know, I send the Comforter, when He comes, He will be with you and dwell with you. He will be with you forever. So you are not without help. You are not without a lover. You have the Holy Ghost as your teacher, as your standby, as your strengthener, as your comforter. Hallelujah. As your advocate. Amen. So you are not without. Don't let anybody sing that song for you and make you feel like you don't have anybody. See, as a believer, you have more than a boyfriend. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So tonight we're going to be looking at growing in Father's love, and we're going to be looking at it throughout this month, and we'll see what the Lord would have us look at next month. If He wants us to continue the series, fine. But we're going to start looking at growing in the Father's love. Father, Lord, I ask, O God, that you speak to me tonight, to your daughters, even as I share your word briefly tonight with them. God, I ask that you speak to your daughters. Father, Lord, grant us light and revelation, knowledge in your word. Father, Lord, let your love be rekindled in our hearts. Let your love be rekindled much more deeper in our hearts, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you, Father. All right. So, growing in the Father's love. Okay. So, why is it important for us to grow in the Father's love? There are times where I'm at home, I'm working at home, and the generator changeover, is on gen mode, and then maybe the gen, maybe fuel, you know, gets exhausted, and then the gen goes off, and I'm still working, and then they bring the light, and maybe I missed the light sound, or this sound, you know, that's usually now put in the area, I don't know, maybe in the transformer, when they bring light, maybe I missed that sound, you know. And they brought light, but I'm still like working. I'm like, where is this light? They've not brought this light. And then I just go over and change that. Oh, wow. There's been light all this while. Amen. You know, a lot of us are going through things in our lives because we do not understand the love of God. We don't have a revelation of God's love. You know, there are certain things that many of us manage, certain things that we tolerate, certain things that we accept, just because we do not have an understanding of God's love. Bringing this home, some ladies, you know, they find themselves in a relationship where the guy is all abusive, sleeps with them, beats them, they are bought for the guy. They feel that's fine, they feel that's okay, they feel that's love. So they manage that relationship. They even pray. They even fast and pray. Oh, God, this relationship, let it work. Let it go. Scale through to marriage and all of that. And they feel that's love. But that's not the love of God. Amen. You know, when you understand how God loves you, it affects the kind of love, the kind of, you know, What you call love from a guy. A lot of ladies, what they call love from guys is not love at all. It's abuse. But it just comes with this love, these guys. Amen. You're in a relationship with a guy and he's cheating with you. He's cheating on you. And you know it. And you feel that okay. You are in a relationship. You know you're not married though. Yes, you're in a relationship and this guy is cheating on you and you feel that it's okay, like, let that one be side chick, let me be normal babe. And you're like, it's fine, the guy loves me, so that's not love. Love is faithful. Amen. When you have an understanding of the love of God, it affects how you see love out there. It affects the kind of love from a man that you embrace. If you don't understand the love of God, you would embrace anything any guy says is love. A guy comes to see you and meet you and tells you, I love you. And he gives you all the attention that your father or your mother, you know, your friends or your environment or society did not give you. And then the guy says, you know, this is what I love you, but, you know, we have to have sex. You have to give me sex in this relationship. And then you go and say, yes, that's love. But that's not love. Amen. That's not love. Glory to God. You know, I don't want to go out of my teaching tonight. But what then is love? What then is love? 1 John 4, verse 8. Growing in the Father's love. Amen. I believe we're getting blessed. So please turn your Bible to the book of Isaiah chapter 54 verse 10. Thank you, Father.
Take over. I cannot know you by myself. Take over. Shukatala Bahaya.
Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 10. Amen. Isaiah chapter 54 verse 10. Alright, Isaiah 54 verse 10. Okay. Okay. I was seeing something else. I was wondering what's going on. Okay. Isaiah 54 verse 10. Alright. It says, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. It says, for my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that has had mercy on you. Now, I want to read in the Amplified Translation. It's not so different, but there's something I want us to see. It says, for though the mountains should depart, and the hills be shaken or removed, it says, yet my love and kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace and completeness be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. Can you see that the Lord has compassion on us? Amen. The Lord has, you know, the Lord has much more than a soft spot. Like, you know when you say you have compassion for something, like when you see the thing, you just want to do anything, you know, for that person. Maybe for some of you, you have compassion for children. When you see children, your heart just melts. Oh my gosh, there's really nothing they want to do to you. You're just always smiling and loving them. God has compassion for you. His heart towards you is full of love. But let's look at the scripture, you know, deeply. It says, for though the mountain shall depart and the hills be shaken or removed, say, yet my love and kindness shall not depart from who? From you. What does this mean? First thing I want to look at tonight is that God's love and kindness is with you. Amen. Did you hear that? God's love and kindness is on you. Better put, is on you. Is on you. Amen. He said, you know, he said, my love and my kindness shall not depart from you. Oh, glory to God. Psalm 103. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all my iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeems our life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Amen. You know, we can see KJV said mercy there, but in the Amplified it said compassion. So compassion and mercy, we can interchange it. Who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender compassion? God crowns you with what? Love. So it says, my love and kindness will not depart from you. So it means that the love of God, God's love and kindness is on you, is on your life, is on you. You that you are saying, I don't think God loves me. Any small thing that happens, you say, God does not love me. But you are carrying the crown of his love on you. Amen. Now, how many of you, some of you, I don't know if you won a crown before, you know, but when you don't get married, you wear a tiara or something. But a lot of us is tight dealing, one way or the other, so it's sharp. Start giving, you know. when something is on your head, you are aware. You are meant to be aware. You can't tell me you tie something on your head and you'll be aware. You'll be aware that something's on your head. If I even wig, except that we even used to wear this, like, if you think fall off, you can't tell me that wig will fall off from your head and you say to him, I don't know when this wig fell off from my head. I'm like, well, sorry, what's wrong with you? Do you understand? It says that our Father, He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercy. So from today, I want you to start seeing the love of God like a crown that you're wearing. Like you wear the love of God. You wear the kindness of God. All glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. It's on you. Glory to God. No matter what you're going through or what is going through you, you wear the love of God. You wear the kindness of God. It's on you. You wear the goodness of God. It's on you. Don't let the enemy make you focus on what can be seen. The Bible says that, for while we look at the things which are seen, for the things which are seen are only temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You may not be able to see the crown of the love of God on you. What I want you to know is there. Oh, glory to God. Some of you, life has, you know, dealt with you. The enemy has stirred up a lot of things so that you would point accusing fingers to God and say, God is responsible for this. God, you're responsible for that. But God is not responsible. Why? Because He has crowned you with His loving kindness. How can somebody crown you with love and kindness and still come and hurt you? How? That's not God. God loves you. He has crowned you with His love. He has crowned you with His kindness. You know why He did that? Should I tell you? You know why He did that? He did that so that you will always be aware. You will always be aware. He did that so that you will walk in the consciousness of His love for you. But many of you, you're no longer aware of His love. You're not conscious of His love. But tonight I've come with the Word of God to say, to teach you, to tell you tonight that God loves you and He wants you to be aware. He wants you to walk in the consciousness of His love. See, there's no way you will be wearing a crown and you'll not be aware. When someone is wearing a crown, the way they bend, they are aware. If you're wearing a wig and you're even entering, maybe you're flying a bike or something, you'll be holding the hand, at least you're not going to fly off this bike. You are aware of the wig you're wearing. So I want you to be aware of God's love tonight. You have been crowned with the love of God. You need to be aware of it. Wherever it is you're going through, be aware that God loves me. Oh, glory to God. God's love and kindness is on you. It's on you, beloved. It's on you. Oh, Shanda Bahande. I see in my spirit, I see like a girl, you know, wearing white and just being crowned, you know, with the crown and, you know, dressed up beautiful. I mean, see, God's love is meant to beautify you. What's the importance of a crown? Crown is for beauty. See, if you're not aware of God's love, you will suffer in life. Things will be ugly for you. You will have ugly experiences. But when you are aware of the loving kindness and tender mercy, of His loving kindness and tender mercy on your life, things will be beautiful for you. Glory to God. Say, God's love is on me. Say, I wear the love of God. Oh, it's on me. I wear it. It's a crown I wear. Amen. I've been crowned with God's love and tender mercy. I've been crowned with God's kindness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So tonight, I want us to be aware of God's love. And how do you become aware of God's love? Very simple. To wake up in the morning and say, Father, thank you for your love for me. Oh, shalabagadabalabadiyadabaha. Thank you for your love for me. Say, Father, thank you for your love for me. God loves me. You always say, put it in your mouth. Say it 1,001 times in a day. God loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Instead of playing all those, you know, reggae songs that some of you play that don't edify anybody, play song. of the love of God. You know, hallelujah, glory to God, amen, amen. The love of God is real. The love of God is on you. Amen. Hallelujah. Next thing I want to share tonight is that the love of God is stronger. Hallelujah. I believe you're following. I believe you're getting blessed. Oh, Shatala Badabaha. How he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. Hey, oh shalabala bahaya, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. Hey, he's jealous of me. Love like a hurricane, I am a tree. I really don't know the song like that, but I love the song, you know, and we're gonna sing it tonight. At the end of the meeting, we're gonna sing it and we're gonna upload the lyrics. Amen. The next thing I want to share tonight from that scripture is that the love of God is stronger. Now, if you read that verse, you see it says, for though the mountains should depart, and the hills be shaken or removed, says, yet my love and kindness shall not depart from you. I mean, just imagine you standing, and right beside you is a mountain. Right beside you is a hill. And then right beside you again is the love of God. And then stuff happen, and then, you know, there's a shaking. You know, there are stuff happening around, you know, the environment, and then the mountain starts to shake. Next thing, the mountain starts shaking, and the mountain goes, leaves the place, gets uprooted. And then next thing, you see the hill starts shaking, and then the hill goes, it gets uprooted. And then the only thing standing beside you is the love of God. What does that tell you? It means that, you know, they used to say this in the last man standing. It means that the love of God and the mountain and the hill compared is the love of God that is stronger. How does that apply to you and I? It means that, see, you know, when someone sees mountain and sees hill and sees the love of God, let's say it's the love symbol now, just sees a mountain, hill, and love symbol. You know, you may want to say, and you're carrying a lot of load, maybe you're carrying a lot of load, bag of rice, bag of beans, bag of everything. I even cast everything, let me drive everything and drop it and just drop everything on the mountain and the hill. And then everything starts to shake and then mountain disappears. Hill, yeah. And then you lose everything, all the load departs there. That's to tell you that, see, this scripture is telling us that, see, as we go through life, let the love of God be our anchor. Let the love of God be where we place our trust. You know, where we put our trust in. You know, the scripture says that the love, it says everything will fail. I want to read that scripture. 1 Corinthians. Give me 1 second. So gada bala bada bado shanamanda bala gadash. Oranamande gede boho sunda bala gada baha sunda bala bahaya. Amen. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians. Amen. So the last point for tonight, and that is, nothing can take God's love from you. So I'm going to be reading a very, very long verse. Not so long, I think about maybe 4 verses. From the TPT translation. I'm just going to read it and then we're going to close. Amen. Glory to God. So please find your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 8. Verse 35, 39. Romans chapter 8, verse 35, 39. I believe your scriptures are being posted, okay? So I'm going to read. It says, who could ever separate us from the endless love of God's anointed one? You see that in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 10 that we read, you know, Prophet Isaiah giving an account to the love of God, you know, this is even God speaking, Seth. It's God I'm speaking, you know, through him. He says, for though the mountains should depart, though the hill be shaken or be removed, say, yet my love and kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace and completeness be removed. Now, why would God be saying this? Why would God be saying, you know, yet my love will not leave you? It means that there are things the enemy will stir up in our walk with God, as we walk with God. You know, there are things the enemy would do to make us feel like God no longer loves us. So God is saying this ahead. He's letting us know ahead of time that, see, let anything I want to have, let it happen. But see, know that my love for you, I can never stop loving you. God already knows that the enemy will try to convince you and tell you that, see, the reason you're not, life is not going well for you is because God does not like you. So if God does not love you, so what's the next thing he's going to try to tell you to do? Don't love him. There's no point loving a God that does not love you, right? So you see people, they were praying before, all of a sudden they stopped praying. They were going to church before, all of a sudden they stopped going to church. They were reading their Bibles before, all of a sudden they stopped reading their Bible. Because somewhere along the line, the enemy has successfully convinced them that, see, all those things you are doing it in vain. This God does not love you. You say you don't understand. He has borne, he has forgotten about you, he has abandoned you. All the prayer you've been praying since, all the seed you've been giving since, is see the results. This is the result. See where you are. See where your mates have gone ahead. If he loves you, well, this will be happening to you. But God has said ahead of time, through his word, through his prophets, he has spoken and he has said that my love and my kindness will never depart from you. So it means that when things are happening, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit, when things are happening to you, if God is saying my love and my kindness will never depart from you, it means that God is trying to tell you that, see, I'm not the one causing all these things happening to you. Because there's a way the enemy makes us feel like, if God is God, why are these things happening to me? If God is God, that means he allowed them to be happening to me. Amen. If God is God, I mean, why didn't he stop the rapists, I mean, people that raped me, from raping me? And that means he allowed it to happen to me. Amen. Glory to God. That's for another day. I don't want to, you know, go into that, but I want you to see this. God is saying that, see, my love, it will never depart from you. It will never depart from you. Let's go back to Romans 8. It says, who could ever separate us from the endless love of God's anointed one? It means that somebody is trying to separate us. Somebody is trying to. So what I've got to say, see, absolutely no one. Like, they can't. Amen. It says, for nothing in the universe has power to diminish his love towards us. Amen. Now, let me say this very well. From God's point of, you know, from God's standpoint, nothing can stop him from loving you. But from your own standpoint, the enemy will do a lot of things to get you from, you know, loving the Father. He will do a lot of things to stop you from growing in the love of the Father. But from God's own standpoint, there's nothing anybody wants to do. There's nothing the enemy wants to do. God loves you. He has already made up his mind about you. He's certain about you. Amen. It's a covenant. He's in a covenant to love you. If God does not love you, he will stop being God. Yes, it's that deep. Amen. But from your own standpoint, the enemy will try to do a lot of things to get you from loving the Father, to get you from growing in the Father's love. But then how are we going to prevent this from happening? We are going to be conscious of the love of God, like I said in point one. We're going to be conscious of the crown of His love that we wear, that He has crowned us with. We're going to be conscious of it. We're going to walk in the consciousness of God's love for us. Amen. Says, who could ever separate us from the endless love of God? Absolutely nobody. For nothing in the universe has power to diminish His love towards us. It says, troubles, pressures, and problems are unable to come between us and heaven's love. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8 says, charity, that's love, says love never fails. But whether prophecies, you know, what else? You know, it says these things, they shall fail. So whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Whether they be knowledge, it shall all vanish away. It says, but love never fails. Hallelujah. So tonight, I want you to know that, see, stop placing your value or trying to get, you know, trying to feel good, trying to, you know, build your self-worth on the things of this world. Like, you know, you have like 10 guys posting you, you feel like, yeah, you are loved. You know, you post something on social media and then a lot of people like, comment, they share, you feel like, yes, I'm loved. The day you don't get any of that, you feel you are not loved. Mm-mm. Amen. Glory to God. Those things, they are like mountains. Yeah, those things, yeah, like they are systems of this world. Please do not, you know, place your love, you know, the love of God for you. Don't feel loved because of the systems of this world. Let the love of God be what makes you feel good. Amen. Because things can happen tomorrow. All those things that make you feel good, those guys that make you feel good, they can go tomorrow. Social media can pack up tomorrow. Amen. But the love of God would ever, always, it will always be there. Some of you place so much premium on, you know, in people. You've even, you know, placed so much premium on these people and compromised on your faith. Especially in relationship, the guy says, ah, you know, sex, and you know well, right well, that this thing is not right. But because the guy is promising you even an F, you decide to compromise. No. The scripture is telling us that, see, mountains, it will shake. These things will shake. It can shake. But one thing that will never shake, that will never be moved, that will never depart from you, is my love. The love of God is stronger. So I want you to build on the love of God. Don't build, you know, your life on the love of a guy. Build your life on the love of God. And then in that place, build your relationship too. Build a relationship with a guy that, you know, God will lead you to. Amen. Build your relationship on the love of God. Build your business on the love of God. Build whatever it is you're doing on the love of God. Build your life on the love of God, because that's what would never shake. Amen. Glory to God. Whenever things happen to you, you know, maybe something happens and all, always remember that God loves you. Yes, you saw his call, you didn't like, you know, you didn't get, you know, a particular result you were hoping to get and everything, and your mind is just, you know, running ahead of you. You're just thinking plenty thoughts. Don't overthink too much. Because if you overthink, the enemy will start telling you that, see, all this is happening to you because God does not love you. Don't accept it. Rebuke him right there and say, devil, stop it. Though the mountains will shake, though things are not working in my life right now, though my bank account is not reading the way I want it to read, but hear this, God's love has not departed from me. God's love cannot depart from me. God still loves me. And as long as God loves me, I am moving on and I'm making progress. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So please, beloved, live your life on this revelation, knowing that God's love is what will always be there. Even when it seems like every other thing is, you can't reach it. You can't reach it. Even me that I'm speaking, I'm a mentor to some of you. I'm a spiritual mother to some of you. And even when it seems like, okay, CMSF, you can't even reach her. Please, I want you to know that God's love for you is always reachable. God's love for you, you can never miss it. You can never miss the love of God. It's always with you. You may not feel it, but it's always with you. It will never depart. Hallelujah. The love of God will never depart. And so the last thing I want to share with us tonight, and that is, nothing that can take God's love from you. Nothing. Amen. Come and say with me. Say, nothing can take God's love from me. Say, nothing can take God's love from me. Amen. Amen. It says, what about persecutions, deprivations? I mean, I don't know, some things that, you know, you know you need them, but the enemy bullies you, like, makes you feel like, you can't get this thing, you can't have it, you don't deserve it, it's not for you. It tries to deprive you of, you know, walking in the blessing. It's a persecution, danger, death threats. Says, no, for all they are, for they are all impotent, to hinder omnipotent love. Even though it is written, all day long we face death threats for your sake. It says God, okay, for your sake, God, says we are considered to be nothing more than sheep to be slaughtered. Yet, even in the midst of all these things, we triumph over them. For God has made us to be more than conquerors. Hallelujah. I love that. I love that. Amen. See, when things are going on in your life, and the enemy brings this thing of God does not love you, you need to shift from that zone of God does not love me, that's why I'm going through this thing. You need to shift to that point, to that place. I mean, you need to shift from that place and get to this point of, I am more than a conqueror. This thing that is facing me, I'm going to conquer it. Do you understand? So that means there is somebody fighting with you, and it's not God. Amen. Glory to God. It's not God that is bringing all those things. No, the enemy is the one stirring those things, so that you feel like God does not love you. Amen. But you know what we're going to do? You're going to stand and you're going to say, I'm more than a conqueror. You're going to conquer those things. Amen. You're going to triumph over them. Glory to God. You're going to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. See, in growing in the Father's love, there is a place of faith. There is a place of fighting the good fight of faith. There is a place of taking hold of your authority, saying, oh, this thing belongs to me in the name of Jesus. And you see him, if the enemy successfully makes you feel like God does not love you, he's actually going after your authority. Because when you feel like God does not love you, you feel like, so that means this thing, God does not want you to have it. So if God doesn't want you to have it, so he will tell you, so you cannot use the authority that God says you have. So you just become passive. You just become, you know, flat. Your pastor is preaching, you're just like, I beg you. You're not even interested. Amen. Glory to God. But see, tonight I want you to see that it's not God that is stirring all those things. God loves you. The enemy is the one stirring all those things. But you're going to conquer over those things. Amen. You're going to take your authority in Christ Jesus. And you're going to say, in the name of Jesus, sickness, no more. Lack, no more. Shame, you know, failure no more. I take my place in the name of Jesus. My Father loves me. My Father God loves me. He wants the best for me. He wants me to prosper. Amen. You know, last night before I slept, I was just reading a scripture and dancing over it. Psalms 37 verse 25. Yeah, 35 verse 25. I was reading the NLT. Yeah, it says, the KJV says, you know, God delights in prosperity of his servant. And the NLT I was reading, it says, God delights in the well-being of his servant. And that really blessed me. That God wants me to be well. He wants me to be fine. He wants me to be okay. You don't understand? Like, he wants me to be okay. Anything that's not going to make me okay, God doesn't like it. Amen. Glory to God. So, the enemy will try to make you feel like, you know, God is the reason why this and this is happening. He's hitting into your consciousness of the love of God. But you're not going to let that happen. You're going to take authority over him. Amen. You're going to take authority over that situation. And you're going to say, Satan, get out of here. Amen. Glory to God. Let's continue reading. It says, for we are more than conquerors. Okay? And his demonstrated love is our glorious victory over everything. Amen. His demonstrated love is our victory over everything. See, this is so amazing. How many of you... let me put it this way. Okay, for instance, you have, if you have someone like Donald Trump on your speed dial, like, you know Donald Trump likes you, although he's a very blessed person, but he's a powerful man, and you know this guy likes you, you know he has a soft spot for you, like, not evil likeness to scripture or anything, but, you know, he's just fond of you, he likes you. When you step into the U.S., please, how you feel? This is where you feel like, oh, I'm fine, like, I'm a big girl, like, you feel like, well, nobody can get on your trips, like, you get, like, nobody can try any, you feel like, if anybody even does anything to you, you even, after all, I can't, we just call Donald Trump, we just send the people to come and pick me from here, you know that kind of feeling, that's how we should feel, when you have a consciousness that God loves you, see, no matter what you're going through, you would know that, see, this thing is not going to drain me. This is not going to drown me. God loves me, and I am going to win. I'm going to come out of this. There's this scripture that I read, you know, to those who came for the retreat. You know, it blessed me. Psalm 13, verse 5 to 6. If you read Psalm 13, verse 1, the psalmist was saying, hey, God, things are happening, you know. When will you come and save me? They want to kill me. They say you are no longer alive. These are da, da, da. They say you are, where is my God? But look at what he now said in verse 5 to and 6. He said, but I trust in your unfailing love. Can you imagine? After all the plenty complain has been complaining, he just goes and says, but you know what? I trust in your unfailing love. He says, I will rejoice because you have rescued me. He didn't say, I will rejoice because you will rescue me. He said, I will rejoice because you have rescued me. Like, it's a done deal. Your love is unfailing. Your love for me is my glorious victory. When you know someone like Donald Trump loves you, like he likes you, and then you see your bank account and then you don't have any money, will you start crying? You won't be crying. Some of us, we do that. You know, if you know that God loves you, you know that God really has your best interest at heart. You see your bank account and you see that there's no money. And you start crying. What will you rejoice? If I know that Donald Trump likes me, like he has said, anytime you have anything, just call me. If I see that there's no money in my bank account, I will not cry now. I'll rejoice because I have somebody I can call. See, God has already said in his word that, you know, do not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. He says, cast on your cares unto me, for I care for you. He has already said all these things. But many of us, we're not doing it. Why? Because the love of God is not real in our hearts. Amen. It's not real in our hearts. That's why, you know, during the course of this issue, we're going to be praying, Lord, more revelation of your love. Because the enemy, see, if there's one battle I've faced in my life, is the revelation of God's love. The enemy literally, you know, took me on a journey of warfare, of not trying to kill me, but trying to take away the revelation of God's love. I got born again with one simple revelation born in my heart. God loves me. As in, you can't take it away from me. You can't do anything about it. I just knew God loves me. The enemy started stirring up things, happenings. When I was in school, things were just happening to me. And then I began to question God's love. I began to question God's love. And it affected my spiritual life. Oh, it did. I began to question God's love. And then I began to question the goodness of God. Amen. So please, if you're listening to me tonight, and then, you know, the enemy has started stirring things in your heart, please, do not give him space. Do not give him room. Let him know that God loves you. See what the psalmist said. He says, but I trust. There's a place of trusting in the love of God. When everything seems like everything is falling, everything is, you know, going haywire, can you trust in the love of God? He says, I trust in the unfailing love of God. He said, because he has rescued me. He's not going to rescue me. He has rescued me. Amen. If I'm so dear to Donald Trump, he knows that I'm coming to the United States. He knows I will not have a place to stay. And then I call him like, okay, wow, oh, where are you? Oh, I already told my people that, oh, they should make reservations for you. You know, there is something the love of God will do to you. It will bring you into the revelation of the pre-provisions of God. Like, God, you know that you need to pay for school fees. You're not going like, God, please, school fees. You know that your God is, your father is not a dummy. He knows that at this point of your life, you will need school fees. So you won't be praying like as if the school fees, as if it's something that everybody is running a circuit in heaven to go and look for. You already know that if God loves you, he knows that you will need to pay for school fees. So that means he has already provided you. So what do? Father, I want school fees. Father, thank you because you've already provided it. So I call you forth in the name of Jesus. You approach the situation with the need has been supplied already. Amen. Glory to God. Oh, glory to Jesus. God is not, your needs don't surprise God. Hey, hey. So my daughter now, she wants to marry. I never knew at the time in her life she would marry. Oh yeah, oh, let's start looking for how she will marry now. No, God already has everything planned out. Amen. Like my daughter now, she will be, you know, 6 months soon. I'm already like, okay, God, some of her clothes, you know, gifts and all of that, you know, some gifts some people give out there for later years, you know. But I'm like, some of the clothes we need to buy for her, you know, I mean, some of the clothes that she has, she's no longer fitting into them. So I'm like, I need to do some shopping from 6 months to, you know, maybe 12 months. I'm already planning ahead. That's me, heavenly parent. How much more your heavenly father? Hallelujah. How much more your heavenly father? Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. All right, God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. Come and say, God loves me. And he's thinking about me. He's thinking about me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. As I close, it says, and let's go back to Romans 8. You know, it says, I'm convinced. Okay, let me read. It says, okay, where I stopped was, and his demonstrated love is our glorious victory over everything. It says, now I live with the confidence that there is nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love. I'm convinced that his love will triumph over death. Amen. His love will triumph over life troubles. Amen. Glory to God. See, there are a lot of things that the enemy will steer. You may think the enemy is tired. No, he's not tired. He's ready to steer a lot of things, you know, in people's lives this year. But you need the love of God. You need an understanding of God's love. Because it's God's love that will triumph over life troubles. It's God's love that will triumph over fallen angels, dark rulers in the heavens. It says there is nothing in our present or future circumstances that can weaken his love. Amen. Glory to God. I don't know what it is that you think, oh, tell me, I've not been praying. I don't think God loves me anymore. sorry, oh, you cannot be king of the Lord. Tell me, I've been masturbating. I've been having sex up and down. You know, I don't think God loves me. You see, he cannot weaken his love. He says there is no power above or beneath us. No power that could be found in the universe that could distance us from God's passionate love. Amen. Have sex with everybody in the whole wide world. He cannot distance God's love from you. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It says, he cannot distance us from God's love, which is lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, God has lavished his love upon you. Amen. God is not changing his mind. If God wants to, if God will say he's changing his mind, he doesn't love you anymore, he will have to undo everything Jesus Christ did for us. And that's not possible. Amen. It's not possible. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He will have to undo everything. But he cannot do that. God has lavished his love upon us. Amen. Glory to God. So there is nothing that can take you or separate you from the love of God. Hallelujah. No life troubles. No issues. Whatever it is, circumstances, whether from you or the enemy, he cannot separate you from God's love. Hallelujah. God loves you so very much. Hallelujah. God loves you so very much. So what the enemy does is, if you are not the one that is, you know, misbehaving, you know, if it's you that you are misbehaving, he will tell you that, and because you are misbehaving, God does not love you. You get. But when you are now walking in righteousness, you're walking well, you cannot put your body under and all of that, he now starts fearing things outside of you to come to you, to walk against you, so that he will now tell you that, now see, God does not love you now. If he loves you, would that thing be happening to you? See, whichever way he tries, whether it is from you or outside you, I want you to know that God loves you. Alright, so I want you to say this tonight. Say it 5 times as we close. Say, God loves me. Come on, say it with me. Say, God loves me. Alright, 3rd time, say, God loves me. 4th time, say, God loves me. Now for the last time, I want you to say, God loves me. Glory to God. He loves me, and nothing can separate me from God's love. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can we give the Lord a shout of praise? Amen. I'm going to be sending a song. We're going to be listening to it, and then, you know, you're just going to go and just have a time out with Jesus, even as we take, you know, the announcement. Hallelujah. I believe you were blessed tonight. Let me know what blessed you. Glory to God. Thank you for coming. God bless you.
He is jealous for me. Love like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. You are and how great you are. redemption by the grace in his eyes. If grace is a notion, we're all sinking. So heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. His love is so thick and tangible in this room tonight. And there are some of you here that have not encountered the love of God. And tonight, God wants to encounter you and wants you to feel his love, his amazing love. Without it, these are just songs. These are just words. These are just instruments. Without the love of God, it's just like we're just up here just making noise. But the love of God changes us, and we're never the same. We're never the same after we encounter the love of God. We're never the same after we encounter the love of God. And right now, if you haven't encountered the love of God, and you would know, because you wouldn't be the same. You would never be the same again. And if you want to encounter